Friday the 18th of September, Koftes Elul, Erev Hashanah Topshin Ayin, Rabbi Shalom Siegel, Rosh Hashanah, A Time to Embrace Hashem.
Rav Shimshon Pinkus once started off a talk on the subject field, Yom HaRoim. He said, if a person's planning to go on holiday, the first thing he has to do is decide where he wants to go, what's his destination. We may well add that after that, one then got to map out the route, how are you going to get to that destination. So too, as we go from Erev Rosh Hashanah, as we stand here today, Erev Rosh Hashanah, we go all the way through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, all the way through to Shmini Atzeres, we have to define what's our destination, what do we want to come out with at the end, and how are we going to get there. As we sit here on Erev Rosh Hashanah, I think we'd all be quite happy, quite honoured to take the title Bali Teshuvah. It's a very, very honorary title. The Gemara says in the Sanhedrin, the Mokhin Shabbali Teshuvah, in the place where Bali Teshuvah stand, Ein Tzadikim Gemurin Yechonin Lamed. Even complete and utter Tzadikim cannot stand in such a place. And the question is, as honorary as it may be, but what's the shot in that? How could it be that Avon the Gaon of Chofetz Chaim, his whole life centered around Avodas Hashem? And yet you've got some guy who spent his whole life in the pursuit of Avodah Maaseh, sinning day in, day out. And at the last moment, the Gemara says the condition, the last moment he says, I regret everything, he has a moment of clarity, a moment of sincere teshuva, with that, everything's turned around, and he's standing in a better plane than the Tzadik Gomer. How can that be? Let's take a case at hand. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, it tells the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Ardai. He was a very, very sinful person. There wasn't a single zayna, a single harlot with which he had not done business. Until one day he heard there was one who lived B'chakei Ayom across the seas. So he gathered together a large sum of money, and he travelled the Sheva Nahoris, the seven oceans, the seven seas, the seven rivers. In other words, it wasn't just next door. He travelled days, perhaps months, to get to this woman. And just as he was about to commit the chet, she blew forth a breath. And she turned to him and she said, just as this breath is gone forever, so too, and also bin Rudai, if you commit this act, they'll never be mekabel you for teshuvah again. At that point, he chab told of himself, and he went to the mountains and hills, and he said to them, "Bakshu alai rachamin." Perhaps an allusion to Davis and Emois said, "Intercede on my behalf." They said, "Sorry, we can't. We've got to worry about ourselves." And he repeated this with four times, all different sort of aspects of creation, the kechovim and mazolit, and each time he received the same response. At which point, he said, "Ein adova tali erobi." The keys to teshuvah cannot be found. They're only in my hands. And it says he sat down, put his head between his knees, and he cried, and he cried, and he cried, Ach Yotzah Nishmosu. At that point, Yotzah Baskel, a heavenly voice emanated, and it said, Rebbe Elazar ben Ardai Mezumen L'Chayei Olam Habo. Rebbe Elazar ben Ardai is now ready for a life in Olam Habo. So when Rebbe heard this, he said, Rebbe started crying, Bocha Rebbe, Rebbe cried, he said, Yesh Kein Olam Bekam Hashanim, you've got somebody like Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rebbe Yehuda HaNosi, who works a lifetime to acquire his Olam Habo. And then you get somebody like Rabbi Elazar ben Ardai, who in one moment of inspiration, one moment of clarity, he acquires his Olam Habo. And he says, not only that, but he also, the Bali Teshuvah, get an honorary title, Rabbi Elazar ben Ardai. And the question is again, what's going on? Was Rabbi honestly jealous? We're talking about Rabbi Yehuda HaNosi, who at the end of his life, he was able to put off his 10 fingers to Shammai and say, I didn't benefit from this world one iota. How can it be? What, he was jealous? Did he envy this person? What was Pshat? Let me present to you another question with that of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, it's an enumerator, it goes through each of the Yom and Tovim, and what its accompanying avodah is, and what the reward it elicits is. And it starts off, it says, on Pesach, why do we bring the Korban Omer, in order that the produce of the field should be blessed? And why do we bring the Korban, the Shtei Alechem, on Shavuot, in order that Peres Olam will be blessed? And why do we bring the Nisach Hamayim on Sukkot, in order that we'll get Gishmei Bracha? And then it says, as for Rosh Hashanah, Imru lefonai malchias b'resh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, say before me b'sukkah malchias, why, k'day, in order, what's the reward? Shetam yichuni aleichem, you'll make me king over you. And everyone asks the question, so what's the reward? That seems to be self-understood. If you say b'sukkah malchias, then yes, Hashem has declared him your king. And it's not as if Rosh Hashanah just doesn't fit into this pattern. Because it continues and says, say b'sukkah of zechernet in front of me, in order that you'll be remembered for the good. And with what? With the shofar, in order, why the shofar? Because that will remind me, of shofaris as well, will remind me of the akedah. So all of them present us, give us some sort of reward, except for one. Out of the six things there, is what psukim amalchis, what's the reward, k'deish tam yichuni aleichem? So in order to start answering this, we have to understand what is sin. We have to define what is a chet. So the Gemara says in Menachos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Olam Habo with the letter Yud of his name, And Olam Hazeh created with the Dat Hei. Ki Bekor Hashem Tzur Olam. So ask the Gemara, why was Olam Hazeh created with the Dat Hei? So it says, because as you know, the Dat Hei has got an open side, right? An open underside. So if a person sins, he falls out of the world. So ask the Gemara, so what's the little crevice, the little hole at the top left hand corner? So that's for Bali Teshuvah, if you want to do Teshuvah. Come back in through there. Ask the Gemara, so created with the Dat Hei. Why do you have to have a separate entrance for the Bali Teshuvah? Answer the Gemara, because once the Yetzer Hara has conquered one part where he's fallen out, he can't come back in that way. He's got to seek out a different route back in. What Peshat in this Gemara? Then Peshat in it is as follows. We say, we just finished off Pirkei Avos, then you have the midnight to say Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah, and we just finished off the last words we said last Shabbos would have been that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that everything which is created in this world is created for the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Shanama says that Hashem created everything for His glory, but Oman it says Hashem Yimlech Le'olam Vaed. This is the last word. Meaning that we are in this world, everything in this world is created for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. The time that Hashem created everything as He willed it, Azayim Melech Shemonikro, then he would get the title Melech. That is our purpose, that is the purpose of creation. So any moment that a person comes along and he says, look, I'm prepared to learn, I'm prepared to daven, but you know what, at this moment in time, I just have to indulge in my tithes. I need to sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wait a second, we had a deal here. I created you for what purpose? You're inside my Netzah Hay, the hay of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to declare my Malchus. To place the tag on top of the hay, the little crown on top of the hay. If you don't do that, you have no place here, and he's thrown out. Like Olam Harisha in Gan Eden, he's walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's sinned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, sorry, out Gan Eden we go. And with that, he closes the door. The last door, the last side is closed up, and that's it. He's got no way back in. As with Olam Harisha, it says at that point he had to wear Kosnis Ur in place of the Kosnis Ur with an other absolute clarity vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He now had Kosnis Ur with an iron skin. Right? There was something ahead. There was a Havdalah, a division between his Neshama and the Rabbeinu Shalom. That is what Chet does. Chet creates a division between the Neshama and the Rabbeinu Shalom. So how can it be that we survive outside the hay? So a person sins, he's sitting outside the hay, so how can it be he continues to live? So remember somebody asked me recently, they said, we say, and benching is a possible, that v'dershi Hashem le'yachtu l'chol tov, that those who seek out Hashem, they don't lack anything good. He says, you look at the goyim who spend their lives in the pubs and the discos and all, he says, they seem to be having a great time, and we as Jews, we don't do this. What do you mean, v'dershi Hashem le'yachtu l'chol tov? Sometimes you think they're having a better time. The answer is very posh. Let me give you a muscle. Little Moishi, a 5-year-old, comes home from a fete. He's clutching there his prize. What's his prize? It's a goldfish, right? Swimming around in the water in the bag. Normally it doesn't last more than a few hours, but this time it did. So daddy goes out and he buys him a nice fish bowl and he puts it in. And the child's all excited. Each day he comes home from school, he looks into the fish bowl and what does he see? What do you expect from a goldfish? Just swims round and round and round. So his excitement turns to disappointment. One day he's looking at the fish, and all of a sudden, the fish acrobatically jumps out of the water. And what does the fish do when it's out of water? It starts flipping around and jumping. So he says, Daddy, Daddy, you got it all wrong. What do you do? Put it in the water. Now look at it. Now it's having a great time. And the father runs in, he grabs the fish, and he puts it back in. Why is it flipping around? The father understands the reason why it's flipping around. He was looking for something, a bit of life, ever something to catch on, to latch onto. So too, a goy has no meaning for life. If he's got no connection to Hashem, and he's leading a life of emptiness. He's got to find something which can give him some meaning in life. He's like the fish. That's what it means with Derash Hashem Le'yachsu L'chol Tov. If it was truly good, if their life was truly good, then yes, it would be permitted. It would be within the parameters of Yiddishkeit. But the very fact that it's not tells you that it's not. They're like the fish outside the water. And so too is the person who sins. He thinks he's having a great time. He says, why do I need to be enclosed inside the hay? I've got freedom now, outside of the parameters. The answer is he's like that fish. He's under an illusion. He thinks he's having a great time, but he's actually searching for something, a bit of life there. And says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll give you to Rosh Hashanah. Like the fish outside of the water, it's got a bit of time to live, but then that's it. So too, I'll give you a bit more time. Outside of the hay, you can survive for a bit, but after that, it's all over. So it comes, a person's got the opportunity to now seek out. He's closed the door. So what can he do? He can come back in through the little hole at the top. So open the door, Kipisto Shamacha, just open a bit of a hole and come back in, be Mandecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he's got life again. And if he doesn't do that, then he's like the hanging leg of the Yud. The Gemara says people who don't do Teshuvah between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, those who are not interested at all, they stay outside the hay, it's Niftam and Oilam. But those who are not sure, they're sitting on the fence, they're like the hay, they're hanging. The leg of the hay is a yud. They've got 10 days to make it or break it. So what? That's chet. That's a sin. A person creates a division between himself and Hashem. So what is teshuvah? So let me give you another morsel. There was once a king. There was a king who wanted to test the allegiance of all his subjects. So yes, you did the decree that everyone should do something to show their allegiance to the king. So one person, he puts a post up on his door, a picture of the king, and another person takes a flag, and every day he waves the flag around, and another person sings the praise of the king every time he passes through the streets. There's one person, though, who word gets back to the king that he says, not for me, I don't need this. So the king says, well, that's it, it's treason, off with his head. So his servants say to him, but, he says, what do you mean, but? He said, but, yeah, do you know who he is? He said, I don't care who he is, he's committed treason. He said, but do you realize he's your son? The king's face goes white. He says, well, he's my son. So what do I do now? He calls in his advice. What does he do? On the one hand, he's got to uphold justice. But there has to be some sort of sentence. He can't just... On the other hand, he says, how can I kill my dear son? So he says, I've got an idea. I'm going to issue a new decree. That is, he's not going to be let off. But I'm going to give him 10 days. 10 days to repent. And if he does, I'll grant him clemency. That's how I let him off. So what happens? So the king, obviously, what does he do? Day one goes by, day two, and the son, still, he's not bothered. So the king starts to send messengers, pleading with the son to do teshuvah, to repent, to recognize his malchus. Still, the son doesn't even open the door. So the king sends more important messengers. Still nothing. It comes day 10, the day of execution, as it looms. The king has had a sleepless night, he doesn't know what else he can do. So with one last ditched attempt, he gets out on his own royal chariot, takes all his royal entourage with him, and he runs and he parades through the street all the way to this person's house, to this son's house. And he bangs on the door and he says, please, I've come all the way here. B'chvodi v'atmi, I've come all the way here. Please open the door. I can't open the door. You've got the keys. Please open the door. And I want to embrace you. I want to hug you. I want to show my love for you. Just please open the door. Recognize my mothers. Recognize that I'm your father, the king. If you do that, then I can let you off. More than that, I can't do. That is us, and that is the Rabboni Shalom. We've sinned. Maybe we're outside of the hay. We closed the door in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We want to lead our own lives. And our Kodesh Baruch Hu desperately wants us to come back. He wants us to open the door. And he says, what can I do? I have to have a world of mishpat. On the other hand, they're my children, my dear children, my beloved people. What can I do? So what he does is throughout the year, he sends messengers. He sends messengers and messages. Right? Sometimes it's not so direct. Sometimes it's Rachmana Lislan. It's more direct through Yisurim. In times gone by, it would have been through Nevi'im. And still, our heart is of stone. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? It comes Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Dirchu Hashem Behemoto Kra'u B'Yitzeh Korib. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to us close up front? Eidu says, the Gemara Rabba Bar Avua says, these are the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to our abode, he comes to our door, and he bangs on the door. While I'm sleeping, Ani Yesheno V'Libi Er, while I'm sleeping, the voice of my beloved is banging on the door and he's saying, Achisi, Rayoti, Enoti, Samoti, such expressions of love. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, please open up the door for me. I can't do anything more for you. I've come all the way. If you open the door, I can hug you, I can embrace you. Just open Kapischa Shamacha, that small, small hole at the top of the hay. Just open it up, put the tag on top, recognize my mouth, embrace me, and then we can talk again. But if not, there's nothing more I can do for you. This is the idea in Teshuvah. Then we find exactly the same thing happened in Mitzrayim. Exactly the same thing happened in Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to Mitzrayim and he said to Klal Yisrael, it's time to go. They said, what do you mean? It's supposed to be 400 years. The Medrash says, what happened to 400 years? He says, but I can't leave you any longer. Because you've fallen to the depths of the 49 levels of Tumah, I can't leave you any longer. What type would have happened? What comes after the 49th level of Tumah? So the Vilna Gaon says, contrary to what many others contend, he says that beyond the 49th level of Tumah is the 50th level of Kedusha. The highest level. Well, how does that work? You go all the way down, 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 and you hit the top. The pinnacle. How can that be? The answer is based on what we said. It's very, very easily understood. When a person falls so far, so what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He's left Kaviyoko with no choice. He has to come and embrace that person. Because the person's falling out. The person's going, it'll be lost forever. So therefore the Rabboni Shalom comes and embraces him. He comes into the depths of Mitzrayim, and right there in the depths of Mitzrayim, he sweeps us out. I'll come finish Shalom. What is Tumah? Tumah is the distance between us and Hashem. A person who's Tumah goes outside of the camps, outside of the Machaneh Shechinah. What is Kedusha?
Kedusha is how close you are to Hashem. The Kedush Kedoshim is the closest place to the Shekhinah. So when a person fallen so low that Ribbono Shel Olam is forced, Kaviyachol, to come and embrace us, give us that highest level of Kedusha, to embrace the oneness with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the highest level of Kedusha. With that idea, we can now start answering the questions we had at the beginning. What's the reward on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is a great reward. When you say, my Malchus, right now you're standing outside the hay. You're not within the parameters of my hay. You're like the fish who's searching for something, a bit of life. I've got a recipe for teshuvah here. Just say my Malchus. Ask to come back into the hay. And with that, you can come back. You will be within my hay, under my jurisdiction. And with that, there's a great reward. Like a child, like a fetus inside the placenta gives it all the food, all the nourishment, everything it needs, all the warmth, everything. So too, those surrounding walls of the hay, that is the biggest reward. It's actually the Rashi in Parashas Bo quotes the Pesukim in Yirmiyah. It says, Hashem says, Zocharti lo chesen urayich, right, how you follow me in the midbar with no food, such a munah. Says Rashi, umasachor, what is the reward? Says Rashi, meferashachor, just continue the Pesukim. What is it? Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, that is the reward. The very fact that you are sanctified and you are the chosen people, as the Apostle continues, Rishis Tibu also, you are the chosen people of Hashem, that is the reward. And the Apostle continues that when the peoples who have tried to antagonize you and attack you, they will be found guilty, Hashem will protect you. That is the biggest reward, that when we recognize Hashem's Malchus, we come back into His aid, we get His protection. And that is what's going on with Rebbe. If you've got a class, going back to our Moshul, when the king's going through the streets, right? So everyone's thinking, where's the king going? So this one waving his flag, this one pointing his poster, maybe you're coming to my house. The king's not interested. His own sons are thinking, well, he must be coming to our house, right? Where's he going? He's going to this rebellious son. How can that be? They say, what's going on here? The answer's very poshut. Because, just like if you've got a classroom, a teacher's got a classroom full of pupils, and most of them are well-behaved, most of them do their homework, most of them are receptive, but there's always one troublemaker. So who does the teacher give his attention to? As long as he's got some hope, it's towards that troublemaker. Why? Will the pupils come to him and say, what's going on here? He said, the reason is, of course I'm not showing favoritism here. You are building a relationship with me. So I can wait for you to come. I can wait, it'll come in time. Whereas this person, if I leave him, will be lost forever. Therefore I have to act now. I have to go and initiate this relationship. So too, this is what's going on with Rebbe. Of course Rebbe wasn't jealous of Rebbe Elzman the Dayan. What he was saying is, what does it mean that the Bali Teshuvah stands in a place that even Tzadikim and Gemurim don't get? The answer is that Tzadikim and Gemurim don't get that embrace in this world. They are building towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're climbing the ladder. They're climbing towards Olam Haba, and then Olam Haba, of course their embrace is going to be something beyond all our wildest dreams. But this person, Rebbe Elzman Dadai, the Bali Teshuvah, he gets this embrace within this world. You can call it a Nebuch's embrace, but it's an embrace nonetheless. And Rebbe was expressing that longing. He said, I've waited my whole life, I've worked my whole life to get that embrace. And all of a sudden, he gets in one moment, he gets that embrace. Of course I'm not jealous, because I know I'm going to get something very, very special in Olam Haba. But it's something I've been longing for. Give you one morsel, just a brief morsel. A typical case inside a restaurant. You've got a family sitting around the table, and the waiter comes around and asks them, what do you want? So again, going back to her 5-6-year-old Moishi, he orders, you know, the fast food, the hot dog, the burger, something like that. Then you've got the 15-16-year-old, Shimon will call them, who thinks, you know, I'm much more mature, I'm past that. So they order a nice big plate of chicken or something. And it's always the typical thing. Fast food obviously comes much quicker. So Moishi's getting right into his hot dog. And Shimon's sitting there, he's saying, oh, I should have just ordered a hot dog. What am I doing? I've got to wait 10 minutes, quarter of an hour. But after quarter of an hour, when they're all sitting there eating their meals, do you think Shimon's jealous? Of course not. He says, look at my food. It's much, you know, much more mature than his. Right? So what happened there? What happened in those 5-10 minutes in between? The answer is just the mind plays games and it says, I've been longing, I'm hungry, I need some food. So therefore, I'll just take whatever I can get. But of course, Rebbe wasn't jealous. He was just expressing his longing. And that's Peshat in those two Gemaras. That's what it means that a Baal Teshuvah gets that embrace in this world that a Tzadik Gemara does not. So that's Peshat in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the embrace, the time when we can open the door. So what is Elul? So we stand on the last day of Elul, we've still got a bit of time. What is Elul? So let's go back to Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim we're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along to them and said, you've got no Zechuyas. So therefore you have to give them Dan Pesach and Dan Milah. What do you mean they have no Zechuyas? We're told they preserve their Jewish identity, their Jewish tam, their Jewish clothes, their Jewish names. Isn't that a Zechus? The answer, that's not a Zechus. That's just very posh. When the Rebbeinu Shlomo comes along, when you're in the 49 levels of Tumah, and he comes along and he bangs on the door, and you say, "Yes, my father." You open up the door. He says, "Who are you?" You say, "What do you mean, who am I? I'm your son." He says, "You don't look anything like my son." And Hashem goes away. That's why the Jewish identity is just a means that when our Kodesh Baruch Hu comes along at the end, he'll recognize us and say, "Yes, you're my son," and embrace us, take us out of there. So too, Erel stands for Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Erel is Ani. The first word is Ani. Who am I? You have to define who you are. What is your essence? What is your tachlis in this world? And the answer is Ani L'Dodi. You have to, in Erel, to come to the realization that I'm here to serve the Rebbeinu Shalom. I'm a Abd of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's my sole tachlis in this world. If you do that, then when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, V'Dodi Li, Hashem will come and embrace you. My beloved will be to me. But Erel starts, that's where it all starts. Ani, to realize who I am. So that's Erel. That's Rosh Hashanah, that's the embrace. So what is Yom Kippur? Let's continue on with the time we've got, carrying through to Shmini Atzeres. What is Yom Kippur? So Yom Kippur is very poshut. The king's now sitting in the palace. In fact, just before we do that, let me just, one last idea with Rosh Hashanah. What is Shofar? Based on what we said, we can also be master, what is Rosh Hashanah? What is the Shofar? The answer is like this. I'll give you a moshul again. There's a person who's facing an upcoming court case, and he knows he's guilty. He knows he's guilty. And As the day of the hearing comes close and close, getting more and more nervous. So all of a sudden, it comes the day of the court case, the morning, he's had a sleepless night, he sits down to have a bit of breakfast, but he can't eat anything, he's so nervous. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. He says, "Well, they come for me already." So he opens the door, and who's standing on the doorstep? None less than the king. He says, "Is this some sort of trick?" The king says, no, I've come to, and I want to come and have breakfast with you." He says, "What? Okay, come in." And he gives him breakfast, and they're talking, and they're getting on very well. So all of a sudden, this guy, as he's starting to relax, he says, he has a bright idea. He goes, says to the king, "Just wait 1 second." He goes and calls up the judge, and he says to the judge, "Look, can you just come and pronounce my judgment now? I can't go on like this." So the judge thinks this guy's obviously gone out of his mind. So he comes round. Yeah, he says, "That's what you want, I'll come round." He comes round, rings on the bell, the person opens the door, and he says, "Oh, good morning, Your Honor." He says, obviously this person really has lost it, right? He says, "Just before you pronounce my judgment, I just want you to come in and meet my friend." He says, "Okay, who's your friend?" He takes him in. He says, "Meet the king." And he puts his arm around the king. And he says, "Oh, by the way, so what was the verdict?" And the judge says, he says, "Sorry, I didn't hear that. What was the verdict?" He says, "Well, I suppose you're innocent. I mean, what can I say in front of the king, right?" So it's based on an idea in Sefer Shari Ora. That's the idea in Shofar. He says this idea is on a much higher level. We're just bringing it down, something I can understand. That Shari, he says there that the Shofar is din. It's calling in the judges. When our Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to us, on Rosh Hashanah, and he embraces us, that's the time to call in the judge. We know we're guilty. So we call in the judge and we say, "So what's the verdict?" And the judge is of course, they see the how Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us, what else can they say? He says, "That's the shaft, but upon Echad Ya'arichun." That when they see the light, we walk in the light, the blinding light of the Rebbeinu Shalom, they're blinded. They have to just give us the all clear. So that's Rosh Hashanah. So what is Yom Kippur? The answer is when the king's sitting in our home, he can't stay there forever. He's got to go back to his palace. He says, "But you know what, I love you so much, I'm going to give you an invitation to come to my palace." So the person says, "But, you know, look at me, I mean, look at my hair, look at my clothes." He says, yeah, have a haircut, have a shower, change your clothes, and then come. That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day, Loshen Kippur is like a basin, is to wash yourself, to clean yourselves up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will actually do that. And then we can come to his palace. When's that? That's Sukkot. Yitzpenini Hashem v'sukkah, Sukkot is the day when we go into the palace of the Rebbeinu Shalom. We come and spend our days, 7 days, in the palace of the Rebbeinu Shalom. But still we haven't yet made it. Don't think we've made it yet. There's still 70 Purim over the 7 days. We offer up 70 bulls, which correspond to the 70 nations of the world. Yes, they decrease each day. But still, the nations of the world, they act as a division between us and Hashem. So it comes to Shana Rabbah, which is the final day. The final day of Sukkot, before Shmini Atzeres, but of Sukkot itself is Toshana Rabo. But that's the final moment of judgment, when we hopefully get the all clear, we get new, sparkling, clean clothes, Royal Amalchus, and at that moment we've, so to speak, we've made it. So what do we do? The answer is, at that point we leave the palace, we leave the Sukkot. What's pshat in that? Can you imagine a person come all the way, he's worked all the way up, all this way, and suddenly says, "Right, bye to the king, I'll see you next year." What's going on here? Let's just add to the equation. The Enes HaMenitziah says that when we leave the Sukkah, we leave it b'chedusah, with great joy. What's the great joy? We're leaving a mitzvah behind. What's the joy? And we all know Rashi brings the Maimon Chazal, which says that when it comes Shmini Atzeres, the last day, right? Well, the end of Shana Rabbah, Hashem says, "Kosha lai b'ridaschem. It's so hard for me that you leave me. So please make for me Asudi Sudha Ketana one more day." So what's that going to help? So it'll come the end of Shmini Atzeres, and it's going to be even harder. What's it going to help? There'll still be a parade though. The answer is, we have to understand, what is Shmini Atzeret all about? We came out of Mitzrayim, as we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu swept us out. He took us up the 49 levels, all the way up to Matan Torah. What is Matan Torah? Matan Torah is the day when we married the Rebbeinu Shalom. That was the closest, that is the 50th level of Kedusha. We say Kedusha is closeness to the Rebbeinu Shalom. We became husband and wife with the Rebbeinu Shalom. Dosar happened with the Rebbeinu Shalom. That was what Shavuos was. But we fell, at the Egel we fell, and once again, we had the Beis HaMikdash twice over, and it got destroyed. And now we find ourselves in Godus, Ke'isha Gerusha, like a divorced woman. Says the Vilna Gaon that when we take our Shia Shirim, when we take our Shia Shirim on Pesach, Shia Shirim is our Kesuba. We take it out and we long for that marriage with the Rebbeinu Shalom again. We say Yishalkeini Minashikas Piu Kitovim Dedechom Yoyim. What is this kiss of the mouth? It's the kiss between the Chotan and Kala, says Rashi. Says the Gaon, you can take it a stage further. Pihu, you see it in the word Pihu. Pihu is P with two suffixes, a He and a Vav. Piha and Pid. His and her mouth. It's the Vav and the He. The Vav is the Chosom, the He is the Kalam. In Godus, the nations of the world, they ridicule us because they can't see this connection we have with the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's a Pasuk and the Parshas Beshalach. Ki Yod Al Keis Ko. What's missing from the name of Hashem? Yud Kei, where's the Vav and Kei, the last He? The answer is, those two letters are missing. Our relationship, our closeness with the Rabbeinu Shalom is missing, and it's not evident to everyone, and therefore they ridicule us, they ridicule the Rabbeinu Shalom who's hidden. But we long for that day when we'll come back to Matan Torah. And when do we get, if you want some sort of ne'en of that, that's on Shmini Atzeret. Just like Matan Torah was the 8th week, it was Lamala Ben Teva, we came up to that stage, beyond the parameters of Teva, we came into the open arms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we married him. So to on Shmini Atzeret is once again, it's Shmini, it's the 8th day, and it's Atzeret again. The same, Shavuos is also called Atzeret, it's a lotion of ingathering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us into his house like a husband and wife. And therefore, when we marry the Rebbeinu Shalom, we get that intimacy of Yishalkeini Minashikas Piu. That is the most intimate expression. When they share a bit of each other. And therefore, there's no such thing as a prayer. There's no such thing as division going away. Because you can have a husband living in Australia and a wife in England. I don't know why they'd be like that, but whatever the reason, right? But they're still husband and wife. They're still Basar Echot. They're still one flesh. That they're never, they can't be divided. So too, even though we leave on Shmini Atzeret, it's with great joy. When we leave the sukkah, it's with great joy, because we know that we've become married, we've come to this highest level now, where we've become married to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And that's how we end off the Torah on Simchas Torah. Shmini Atzeret and Simchas Torah is really one day, Chutz Laaretz we celebrate it as two. We end off, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, Yisrael is at the end, and the first words are, Bereishis Bara Elokim. We connect Yisrael and Elokim. And actually, if you write them out, you can see that actually Yisrael has a part of Elokim, the first two letters, Aleph Lamed in it, and the name Elokim also has Aleph Lamed. It's actually, the Arizal says that we have a part of our Kodesh Baruch within us, and our Kodesh Baruch has a part of us within him. That's the connection of husband and wife between us and Hashem. That is Shmini Atzeret. And that is, just to finish off, that's what David HaMelech said in the David Hashem Oiri. He said in the David Hashem Oiri, he said, Acha Shoalti Mi'is Hashem, Oisa Avakish. And then he goes on to ask for more than one thing. The answer is one, and it's all one. He said, Lulei Emanti L'Res B'Tov Hashem. Says the Gemara, the Lule has dots on top of it. Because it said, Mutachani B'chol, I believe in you Hashem, that you're going to pay a Sochot Tevel HaTzadikim. But I'm not sure if I'm going to get that out of my boss. The Gemara says, but he called himself a Chosid. He said, yeah, but I'm worried, Shema Yikra Machet. And that's what he's expressing in the David Hashem Ori. He says, Acha Shu'alti in the past. Because everyone else wants a double expression, Shu'alti and Esau Avakish. The answer is, one is in the past. I asked in the past to dwell, Shifti B'nei Hashem Kodim Yechayat, to dwell inside the hay, to dwell in the house of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the palace as husband and wife of the Rabbeinu Shalom. But Esau Avakish, that's the same thing I continue to seek. Because I'm well aware that the Yetzer Hara is working tirelessly to pull me out of the hay again. And therefore I ask you to protect me from the Yetzer Hara. It's all one request. That I can stay, I can stay in the house of Hashem, that the Yitzhar will not get me out of there. And that is the path, if you want, as we stand on the last days, we said, Erev Rosh Hashanah, we've defined our destination in Shmini Atzeret, the day when we want to become one with the Rebbeinu Shalom, to get back that relationship with Hashem. The way we'll get it is from Elul, defining ourselves, to Rosh Hashanah, embracing the Rebbeinu Shalom, opening the doors to Teshuvah, saying Pesukim Amalchias, and then coming to Yom Kippur to have the shower, so that we can go through to Sukkot, to enjoy Sukkot in his palace, with Hoshana Rabbah, the final cleansing process. And then we come to Shmini Atzeret, which Be'ezus Hashem will be the day when we will finally marry, and hopefully Shmini Atzeret this year won't just be a me'en of that, Be'ezus Hashem, this year will be zechet to the sukkah shel Aviyasa. We'll be zechet to the time when we truly will be one with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and it'll be clear to all the nations, the name of Hashem will be complete. And Be'ezus Hashem, all of us and everyone, the whole of Klal Yisrael, should be zechet to Ksiv v'chasim otzeiva, a year Yivishu es b'nei chomes. Amen.